Hello, everyone, and welcome into another Talking Puck podcast. Tiny biscuits, tiny digestible bites of hockey talk for you. A couple times a week, we like to throw these out there. My name is Tom Callahan. Thank you for joining me. Please follow me on Twitter at Callahan on Air. Also, in my Twitter bio, you can find the link to our Talking Puck Discord, and we would love to have you be a part of the hockey conversation over there as well. So thank you, everybody, for being a part of things, for subscribing and liking and following as you have. We couldn't do it without you. Also wanted to point out that even though we had some technical difficulties this Sunday night, we'll be back on the air. Don't worry, Talking Puck TV will return. Mike and I will go back to doing our Wednesday show, and we may have to switch the time with the time change. So I'll let you know on social media. Follow me at Callahan on Air. We may have to bump it slightly later because of the time change here and just, well, quite honestly, my work schedule. We'll figure it all out. But anyway, so all that said, two things I wanted to tackle today. Number one, Alex Ovechkin has scored his 717th goal and now ties Phil Esposito for sixth all time. He is finally reaching the end of a 13-year deal. Isn't that crazy? Remember when Ovechkin signed his 13-year contract? Well, 13 years ago, when I think a lot of us, myself included, said, well, there's no way he's even going to be playing then. There's no way he'll finish out that contract with the Capitals. Or maybe he'll be playing by then, but there's no way he'll still be with the Capitals. Well, he is. And he is one of a handful of players that has actually played out one of those enormous contracts, which now looks like probably more of a bargain than ever. He's still producing. I still believe in a full season, Ovechkin can challenge 40-50 goals, no problem. He's going to be able to do that probably for the next couple of years if he stays healthy. Of course, that's always the big caveat. And then there's the flip side of this coin, which is Pekka Rinne in Nashville, who, on the wrong side of 35 for a goaltender and aging quickly, although, you know, he's thrown a couple good games out there, but more often than not, just has not been the man this year. And understandable, he's aging out. The Predators are going to age out here with a lot of the players they have, and that young core just hasn't come up as expected. Well, Rinne comes out and says, I want to retire a Predator. So now we begin to look at, because Rinne is another guy who spent his entire career with a franchise. Okay, so all well and good, he wants to retire as a Predator, but how much do we value, as fans, as just people who love this game, how much do we value watching a guy play his entire career with one team? Mike on Sunday said that he loves that. I enjoy it too. I think I used to have more romance behind the notion than I do now. I definitely look at things more from the business perspective now, but I also realize that, you know, it's rare. And for the fans of that team to see a player finish out in your sweater and remain devoted the entire time, well, that makes you feel justified as a fan of your team. That makes you feel good about it, that somebody else loved it as much as you did, that they played for that team and stayed. So that matters. But does that make them untradeable? Does that mean that the Predators now, if they were considering dealing Pekka Rinne, can't or shouldn't? I think that's an unfair position to put a team like Nashville, who are clearly sellers at the deadline, in. And now this is not going to evolve into a trade Ovi thread. Don't worry about that. But I believe that if Nashville has a deal on the table for Rinne, they should make it. If there's a team out there that thinks he could be a solid number two for them in a playoff run and they can get some assets back for him, say, you know, it's a business. It'll look weird. Marty Brodeur looked weird in a Blues uniform. Most people don't even remember he wore one. And I think it would kind of be the same thing with Rinne. We'll always remember him as a Predator. And Ovechkin, on the other side of this, so both of these guys were all-stars, were at one point considered the best. I think Ovechkin is still considered among the best. Certainly, Rinne is not. It's different for a goalie versus a forward. But I look at where these guys are. And, you know, Ovechkin, first of all, could he challenge Gretzky? Sure. He definitely could, and he should deserve a chance to do it in a Capitals uniform. I think Ted Leonsis loves him enough that he'll keep him around. But again, does it make him untradeable? You know, if you got crazy, ridiculous value back for Ovechkin in a deal, would you have to turn it down? It's not tough to imagine Marina coming out of Nashville. You don't necessarily owe it to a guy to get them to finish in the uniform they started in. It's nice. It's romantic. But I think I've kind of gotten away from that idea as something that not only, is that nice, but something that a player is owed somehow. I just don't think that. I don't think that a fan base is necessarily owed that either. I think the fan base is owed by its general manager, president, whoever's making the hockey moves, the moves that make the team the most competitive year in, year out, and give them the best chance to win. And if for Nashville that means starting a rebuild and going that direction, that's the direction it is. So that's where I stand on that. And should Nashville rebuild? I think so. Does Washington need to rebuild? No. They're playing pretty well. They do need to probably add a couple things, but they'll still be competitive for a couple of years yet. The question will be, though, make no mistake, when Ovi slows down, we'll be having the same conversation again. All right, well, that one went a little bit longer than I thought it might, but here we are. Tiny Biscuits, the Talking Puck podcast. If you like what you hear, please subscribe. Also, don't forget, Mike and I will be back Talking Puck TV. So Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, that time is solid, but it looks like we may have to adjust the Wednesday broadcast. Might end up going a little bit later, might end up noon Pacific, which would be 3 p.m. Eastern. So we'll see if that's conducive to everyone's schedule, but we'll keep you posted. Follow me on Twitter, @CallahanOnAir. All right, everybody, thank you for listening. Stay safe.